Welcome to Two Bards, One Mic. Insert interesting music here.
I swear we're actually going to get music one of these days.
Nah.
Welcome to episode 92.
92.
Where all of your dreams will come true, and all of the fruits grow on the trees to the plump ripeness, and you are my friend, Tatu.
Nueve Dios. Dos.
Nueve Dos.
Nueve Dos.
I don't think, well, 92. Dio. Yeah, that works.
Nine. I don't Dios.
Know. Dios mío. Dude.
Adios mío.
All I can think of. Here's the funny thing. I've known.
Fred Armisen.
I've been friends with lots of Mexican people. And they all love the Speedy Gonzalez stereotype for some reason. Like, and these aren't lazy people. These are like, right. Fucking. Mexicans aren't lazy at all.
But they do siesta a lot.
Well,
they've got it. They do it right.
It's much more a natural pattern.
Yeah.
To sleep 6 hours at night and then two during the day. It's
mm-hmm.
Like we do that if we don't, like if we're in caves and stuff.
Yeah.
But I just they love the you know like everyone's like my friend Miguel, he's like sending me this shit. He's like he sent me that little bit from when they end up hiring Slowpoke Rodriguez at the end, but it's like. Oh, Speedy Gonzalez, you know, he like my sister. He like everyone's sister. Yeah. Fun, but something like that. Anyway.
Something like something. That should be a new segment for us.
Something like that.
And something like that.
No.
This episode brought to you by racists everywhere.
Well, racists from the... 30s and
40s. 30s and 40s, yeah.
Which was like all of them. All of the everyone that wasn't a minority in the 30s and 40s was.
But even they were minorities. I mean, even they were. Even the minorities were minorities. Minorities. Minority. Minor. Minor Keys? I don't know. Alicia Keys?
Alicia Keys.
Hey, there we go. The Black Keys. There we go.
Who couldn't eat at the lunch counter.
Right.
In the 30s and 40s.
Exactly.
So, or in Indiana today.
Oh, Indiana.
Oh, Governor Pence. You're so fucking dumb.
Thank you for all the things you're bringing to us lately.
Oh, boy. I would love it if a couple more things from Indiana. I don't want the Indianapolis 500, though financially that would make our state really happy. Not my bag. You know, rainy yeah. state's not a good state for the Indianapolis 500.
No, although they were going to put in a speedway out in Gig Harbor.
There's one in Mukilteo, isn't there? Or Mukilito, as I like to call it.
Is it Rainier? Tenino has one, too. Mm. Well, there was one in Spanaway, the Spanaway Speedway.
Spanaway Speedway?
Yeah.
Spanaway Speedway.
Which
Spanaway
was great Speedway. For, like, go-karts or something. I don't know.
Oh,
but they actually had real races there.
Dude, there was a Reddit post that had go-karts going 150 miles an hour through real streets and stuff. It was awesome.
Ooh.
It was scary looking, though, because they had, like, fucking rocks in the streets. Like, they put mm-hmm. rocks in the streets to be like, you know, if you catch this, you're going to die. So don't fuck it up. Huh?
Wow.
Now drive for us.
Now drive. Drive.
Entertain me. I don't know, man. So our weeks.
Our weeks. Yes.
We're not weak. Strong week.
Yes.
I enjoyed this week.
I did, too. It was a good week.
We went to go see... Furious Seven. Those the fucking naming conventions on that movie, man.
Yeah.
Because it's Fast and Furious, Too Fast, Too Furious. Okay, cool, got it. Following.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's like Tokyo Drift or
yep.
something. Or no, then there was Fast like fuck, man.
Fast and Furious 3, then Tokyo Drift.
Well, it wasn't. Was it Fast and Furious 3 or was it? Something else, 3, and then Tokyo Drift, and then Fast 5, not Fast and the Furious, Fast 5.
Right, Fast 5.
And then Fast Furious, I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
No, The Fast and the Furious, or something like that, where they reused the first name. No, the first one was The Fast and the Furious. This one was just like Fast and Furious. The sixth one.
Okay.
Something like that. And then there was the seventh one, and there's a bunch of oh my God!
I can look it all up.
It's like trying to follow Americanized anime titling.
But why should I look it up when Linkmaster General is going to have it all posted out there for us?
I don't. You know what? Frankly, I've watched the original The Fast and The Furious, and then Seven.
Really?
Yeah. So I leaned over to you like I thought this was a big joke when Han Solo's name came up, and I'm like, oh my God, look on the computer screen, this guy's called Han Solo, and you already knew that.
I did, but I didn't.
But
I didn't see it. I just saw Han and none of it. And then you told me after the fact, and I was trying to stay in it. And then I was like, oh yeah, Star Wars Forever. Okay, boom. Everything was already gone.
But it was Han, H-A-N, Sol, S-E-O-U-L, O-O-H.
Mm-hmm.
Han Solo. So he wasn't Japanese. He was
Korean.
Or probably. But I'm guessing that's not a Korean name either. So
Probably not. I think I have seen them all now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
Let me give you my impressions of Fast or a Furious 7.
Okay.
Punch. That's it. Like the whole time it's rev punch. So I didn't get it. I didn't understand it. It was a garbage movie to me. The end is beautiful, et cetera, but not really fitting with the movie, to be honest.
Sure.
It would have been a better post-credit scene, in my opinion, but they wanted people to see it, to their credit, even though they probably knew it didn't fit well with the movie. Paul Walker's dead. They want this. They want everyone to kind of feel the feels.
Yeah.
And I get that. And that was fine. Like, I actually enjoyed the ending. The movie, I suspended disbelief for everything. Okay? And we'll try to keep this as spoiler-free as possible. So when they did the thing between the three things,
happened.
The epic shit, I'm fine with.
Totally.
But the little shit, like when his wife is like, hey, I'm going to have a baby in 9 months. Like she knew she was pregnant the day
of
conception. That happened. And then calls him like 3 days later and is like, oh, and it's a girl.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're talking flat belly, completely nonchalant. This has not been any time, okay? We know it hasn't been any time because The Rock's in the hospital.
Yeah.
And The Rock's in the hospital.
We're blowing all sorts of spoilers.
No, it's in the trailer. It's in the trailer.
Okay.
I will not save spoilers that are in the fucking trailer. Sorry.
That's fine.
Yeah. He's in the hospital getting an awesome transplant. Or no, he's probably donating awesome.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a little extra to spare. Oh, fuck,
I love The Rock in this. I just love The Rock. Dwayne Johnson, he got it going on.
You should see a couple of the other ones that he's in, too, because it's the same thing. It's
total,
I know who I am.
He does,
I know the characters that I play.
He does.
And I'm going to play that guy, and we're all going to go along for the ride.
I was happy.
Yeah.
I kind of wonder if his daughter in the movie was his real daughter, though.
Hmm.
Just curious, because like that's the kind of thing I could see The Rock doing.
Yeah.
Like, oh no, she's going to come and play, and you're just going to deal with that.
Yeah.
I'm The Rock.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
Yeah. Does the eyebrow thing. Everyone's like, okay, you're The Rock.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I liked the movie a lot because I've seen them all. It was very much in the vein. And if you buy into the previous six, you will totally buy into the seven.
Oh, and I'm not arguing that at all.
No, right. But when you're saying, you know, it was all her and punch, yes.
Well, so someone put it to me a way that I finally kind of understand it. It's a superhero movie. And the cars are their suits.
Yeah.
So when they're in their super suits, they're comic book heroes. That's why they can do everything in the world when they're in their super suits.
Yeah.
And you go and it's true. He, you know, like something happens and someone sees a guy and he goes and he puts on his car.
Yeah.
You know, like that is real. That happened. It was just like a superhero movie where he goes and he fucking just suits up in his car. And then they have an epic battle and they're both super powered. But the person in the car ultimately is safe for some reason.
Yeah.
So that
they're in an Autobot.
Yeah. That part doesn't bother me. Again, mm-hmm. I'm totally cool with that.
Right. No, and I agree with you that those things, you suspend disbelief because that's mm-hmm. just the movie you're watching.
Right.
But yes, the little itty bitty stuff, the everyday mundane thing that is like, okay, we're with you on all the fantastical stuff. Can right. you keep the reality real?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want fantastical everything.
It doesn't even take a lot to do it.
No.
That's the thing, is it like doesn't take anything to keep, because there's not a lot of reality in these.
No.
Not, like almost none. So just keep a couple of things just kind of normal. Kirk Douglas, or Michael Douglas, not Kirk. Wait, which? No, neither of those.
Kurt Russell.
Kurt Russell. That's why I was saying the Kurt. Yeah. Sorry, Michael Douglas is an Ant-Man.
Oh, cool.
Right. That's where I, because I just watched the Ant-Man trailer. Mm. Don't say cool yet. I'll explain it a bit. And I love Paul Rudd, but mm-hmm. first of all, they lost Edgar Wright. Womp womp, sad trombone.
Oh.
And Hank Pym is an Ant-Man. Hank Pym is just the scientist that made Ant-Man now. This is all in the trailer. No spoiler. Well, I haven't seen the movie. I can't spoil it.
Right.
But Paul Rudd doing some Paul Rudd kind of things. I don't know. I'm holding off judgment. Maybe it'll be good. Maybe it won't. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Anyway. So Kurt Russell. Awesome. Fucking loved him in the movie.
Yeah.
Set me up for an expectation. Didn't deliver. Surprised me there. But in a good way. Like, didn't mm-hmm. deliver in a good way. They have, a lot of really weird practical shit they did. He has glasses and they do a thing. And they did that practically.
Yeah.
I didn't realize they were... I just thought that was CGI flying all up in his face.
Mm.
Cool stuff. Like, that's cool. But again, just come on, man.
Yeah.
Serious lie. I didn't even mind... Okay, this might be a spoiler, so fast forward a little bit if you want. It's not anything specific, but Vin Diesel fucking lifts a car
mm-hmm.
with his bare hands. And I don't mean he has the hands of a bear. I mean, he just lifts a fucking car.
Yes.
Like, it's no thing. And they joke about it. That was awesome. I'm fine with that. That's great. The story getting them to that part was a little weak sauce.
Yeah.
Just,
but what transpires afterwards...
Awesome.
Totally yeah. worth the weak right, sauce getting there.
Right, right. Is it sexist? Absolutely. Is it muscle-headed? Absolutely. Is it lowest common denominator? You betcha. Is it fun? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. Totally.
Yeah.
And
for the sound and the soundtrack, worth seeing well, him on the big screen.
And I will say this, I'm not a car guy at all, but I picked up that they recorded different sounds for every single one of those fucking cars.
Mm-hmm.
Those cars were probably dead on accurate. I don't know anything about them, but every car had its own unique sound.
Yeah.
And I mean all the way, like if they turn around a corner, they recorded a different car turning around a corner. It was all very, very precise and like very focused on these cars. I give it a maybe. I'm thinking Scott's going to give it a definitely go. I'm going to give it a maybe. Maybe go. If you like it, definitely go. If you like right. the series, definitely go. There's no way this is going to disappoint you if you've liked the previous ones.
Right. And that...
Absolutely no way. This is going to disappoint you.
No.
If this is your first Fast and the Furious and you see that on Rotten Tomatoes, it's at 85 fucking percent, but you've never really been in it, maybe. Maybe think about it.
Now, Rotten Tomatoes being a higher percentage, mm-hmm. isn't that good?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's got an 85%, which is really, really, really high for a bonehead action movie.
Yes.
So... But I think a lot of that comes from reviewers watching it and taking that end scene home with them.
Right.
That's what I think that they're doing.
Well, and I now really want to do a Fast and the Furious marathon. I want to watch all 7 of them for 14 hours.
You should watch them at double speed. It'll be a Fast and Furious, Fast and Furious marathon.
Yes.
And you can call it Fast and Furious 7. Our marathon of Fast and the Furious.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great idea. You should do that.
Yeah. That would be fun.
Yeah.
Speaking, I would say if you like it, you you gotta go.
Yeah. Speaking of marathoning, So Daredevil came out.
Yes, it did.
And I didn't make it to the end of the marathon, which is the only marathon I ever had a hope of making it to the end to. But we had some hiccups. But my friend Tyler, who you might know as the writer and director of Glitch, our friend Bo, Taylor, and Brendan, we got together at Tyler's place and tried to marathon Daredevil on Sunday. We got through episode 10, which is unfortunate because it's a bad episode to end on. No spoilers. Why it was just kind of the weakest of the episodes. It's a good interstitial tie episode one, you know, tie episode 9 to episode 11 kind of thing. It had to be done, but it wasn't the strongest one to end on. That being said, I fucking love the Daredevil Netflix show. Love it.
I did not marathon. I am not quite to episode 10. I think I might be through 7 or so. I also love it. I think it's nice and dark. It's all the things that I love about Gotham, but way more simple. The thing that I am hating right now, where's his fucking red outfit?
Oh, dude, I'm guessing that's going to be the end of the last season, yeah, like they do.
I know, but you know, I'm just like
what was the?
He's running around with a fucking stocking on his head.
But they do that a lot. They like, you know, because they want another season out of this.
Oh, yeah.
But they should. Yeah, they do that a lot where it's like, you know, the last bit is where they suit up. And
yeah.
Oh, and it's the thing and I'm the happy and blah. I will say this without spoiling again. Episode 2 has one of the best fight scenes I have ever seen in my life. Episode 2 is the hallway scene where he goes. Or no, maybe it's 3 or 4. Fuck, it's 4. This is what happens when you marathon. You can't remember.
Right.
He goes...
I've gotten to that part.
Right. He goes to rescue the...
right.
From the...
Oh, yeah.
And there's this long shot, 5-minute, no-cut scene. And it is the most Batman thing I've ever seen, for one. It's amazing. It's funny while being completely serious, but it's only funny in that it is also so shockingly good. The fact that you laugh makes you feel bad because it is so good.
Yeah.
And it just keeps going and there are no cuts. And you can see where they left spots to cut if they had to, but it looks like True Detective where they left spots to cut but didn't end up doing it.
Right.
So it is one gigantic 5-minute choreographed fight scene with a blind guy. Think of how fucking tough that is.
Yeah, and that guy is doing a really good... He's doing a good job at playing blind when he's not Daredevil.
Right.
I gotta suspend some disbelief when he's Daredevil. And that's fine, because he's a superhero. He's supposed to be able to do those things.
Right, well, Daredevil's not blind, he said in air quotes.
Right, because there was that thing where he... But, man, every single... I mean, that one is awesome, but every single one, the whole 360 degrees around a car.
Yes.
Outside in a very narrow... I'm not giving anything away. No. But in a very narrow, confined space, he and the bad guy on one camera axis, 360 degrees around a car, fighting on it, around it, next to it, beside it.
Very Jackie Chan-ish, but much harder, darker.
Yeah.
There's also, oh my God, my favorite character so far hasn't even been Daredevil.
Oh, yeah, totally.
It's the bowling scene. Have you seen the bowling scene yet? I just want to throw some balls.
Nope.
Okay, not going to tell you anymore.
Okay.
But that guy is awesome. All the characters are awesome, and we're not going to spoil any more of it because...
But Vincent, we could talk about Vinny.
Yeah, that's true. Can we? Should we?
Vinny D. He's amazing. I mean, we could just say, hands down, the best thing since The Cell that guy has done.
Oh, yeah. Oh, hands down. Hands down. He's great.
Yeah.
A lot of... Most of the supporting cast is surprisingly competent.
Yes.
Like, to the point of being, like, very good.
Yeah. Rosario Dawson's even good.
Yeah, Ben Urich. The guy who plays Ben Urich. The reporter.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking great.
Yes. And he's been...
And he's got he's a been dormant story
for
a
long time.
Yeah, he has.
The actor.
Yeah.
And I...
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's a hyphenated last name. Vondi Hall. Curtis Vondi Hall.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Just the cast.
Yeah.
And Charlie Cox, surprisingly amazing canceling out of the accent. Because he's speaking very soft, Americanized West Coast English, even though he's in New York. Mm-hmm. He ain't speaking like this, you know? I guess that's Jersey, but whatever. You know, he's not like, hey, get over here. He's speaking.
Charlie Cox?
Daredevil. Matt Murdock.
Oh, okay. Is he an English actor?
Yeah, he's British. He was in Stardust, man. He was the main guy in Stardust.
No.
Oh, yeah.
That's where I recognize him from?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So, covers his accent very well.
Yeah.
And it's not like Charlie Hunan.
Mm-hmm.
Hunnam, whatever. I like Hunan.
Hunan.
Hunan's not even close to his name, but Charlie Hunnam. Never really covers his accent perfectly, but you don't care because he's so powerful on the screen, but you can notice it. I noticed maybe two lines in all 10 episodes I've seen so far where it peaks out just a tad.
Mm.
So, and then Foggy, the guy who plays Foggy.
Yeah, Foggy's great.
First of all, congrats Netflix on casting someone who actually fits the comic instead of someone who's pretty.
Yeah.
No shit, dude. Thank you. Oh my God, and their makeup continuity is mind-blowing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bit of neck work that happens very early on, first episode. By the third or by the fourth episode, it's still there, but too light to, like, barely even light it up. I mean, they kept it going.
Yep.
And, I mean, they said that they were going to, that they were going to film it like a giant 13-hour movie. But their makeup continuity is ridiculously impressive. I have seen 2-hour movies where they can't even come close to keeping it this tight.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It's Daredevil, but it's the Batman I wanted. It really is. It's just so good. So very, very solid. If you don't agree, please tell us in the comments on the... What's going on?
Nothing.
Oh, you look concerned.
No, I was just looking back at what my week was.
Oh, looking back.
Looking back.
Hmm. Always forward, never back. So in review.
In review.
See, that's a joke there. But yeah, very, very solid show.
Rear view. In rear view.
In the Pearl Jam?
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah, so...
Oh, one quick comment I did want to make about the red suit.
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice, though, that his black shirt has red seams? I thought that was a nice touch. His black...
I haven't yet.
Yeah, his black shirt has red seams. Red stitchwork. So, there's someone else I want to talk about, but I can't yet.
Because of me or because of the listening
audience? Both.
Oh, damn it. Because I was going to say, you could tell me after.
Yeah. Speaking of playing blind well,
Oh
my God. Because there's another blind person in the show, and holy crap, you haven't gotten to it yet, I don't think. If you haven't gotten to the bowling alley, you haven't gotten to the blind.
I have to some of them.
Okay. Oh, yeah, many. No, not...
Okay.
No.
Yeah, put that one in your pipe and try and figure that out. What? There's many? Huh? What? What did they just say? Yeah, we said a whole lot of stuff without saying anything.
So watch The Red Evil. Daredevil.
That's what I was going to say title the podcast.
The Red Evil. We're going to call it The Red Evil.
So my week, last week, met with Bandersnatch, went with Damon. For a good long while.
I just love how dirty their name sounds.
I know. Working on their website in conjunction with Reality Check's website.
Because
they have a big meeting. I need to confirm with Damon that it is happening this week. So I'm kind of double teaming the web builds right now. Kind of do one until I get burned out and jump to the other one and back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, all you listeners. I'm having some nasal problems as well.
Yes, I am.
Then I had a meeting with a talent agency, Sixth Avenue Talent, down in Des Moines,
woo-hoo,
about doing some in-house acting classes for their cadre of people. I don't know how that's going to play out because she wants to come see one of my classes. And last week, I didn't have class because I finally broke the golden lasso of Microsoft work.
Yes.
I finally got my first Microsoft gig. And if Tony Becerra hadn't have been double-dipped, he would have been working on this project, and I can safely say it would have been the best 2 days I've ever been on set.
We love you, Tony.
But since Tony wasn't there, it's the best 2 days I've ever been on set that didn't include Tony Becerra.
Nice.
I would like to give a shout-out to Basil Shadid and Jacob Leander, who were the producers of this.
Hey,
also,
guys.
A big shout-out to Bronson Veal. Bronson, damn it. Branson Veal. Yeah, perfect. Too bad we don't edit. Of UncleBob.TV. He was nice. The director, and we shot at his loft down by Northwest Film Forum.
Very cool.
It was an epic day, 2 days. I shot, my co-host was Luke Burbank.
That's so cool.
Many of you may or may not know. He does a local TBTL podcast here in Seattle.
Tibiddle.
That was, it's Too Beautiful to Live. used to be on the 710 Cairo radio station that I listen to, which is now 97.3 Cairo FM. And he left that. He's been on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me over in Chicago. He does Livewire on NPR. Just a number of things. And really great guy. I've met him on another Microsoft shoot where I was a PA.
Mm.
Talked to him about podcasting, and I showed up on set, and he was like, hey, I know you. You've got a podcast, right?
Nice.
And from that point on, it was awesome. And Luke's just a wonderful person who's given us some lovely suggestions for taking our podcast to the next level, which mm-hmm. at some point we'll implement. Luke, if you're listening, yes, we will implement, but I'm being vague now for various reasons because I don't know when we're going to, but
right.
I listened to you, sir, and I'm taking it to heart. Yes. Which wasn't anything negative. It was just more formatting type things.
Right, right. Speaking of taking our podcast to the next level, we should mention really quickly that thanks to our Patreon listeners.
Yes.
We are recording for the first time on Scott's own copy.
Woo!
Of Audition CC.
Yes, we are. So nice to see my name on there.
And not have to sign a bunch of people out to get into it or make
yes.
15 calls.
And piss people off and
yeah.
do all that stuff.
So. Or, like, worse yet, when they're in the middle of post-production on something, just not getting a chance to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, thank you all very, very much.
Thank you.
This is an awesome turning chapter point.
Mm-hmm.
Not looking back in the rear view.
Right.
Moving forward.
More like standing behind the counter in a store in a small town. I forget.
I can't. Yeah, that's the longest
You're a
fucking
little
name
old woman
ever.
That's what I'm saying. I don't even know if that's the right one. Is a wizard and a whale? I don't. In a whale, in a whale. And I'm the whale.
So, yeah. So, and the best part is, most everybody here who gets cast in Microsoft stuff,
yes.
it's all internal.
Yes.
And it never sees the light of day. And you never get copies of it, and you can never give it out to anybody.
Right.
This is going to be public
yes.
on the interwebs for Microsoft's Azure cloud services.
Now, I don't want to make any allusion to these two being connected because I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make that very clear as I don't know. But they also just launched Azure for Kids, which is a child subscription for students, for kids
oh,
who
cool.
want to develop. So go and check that out if you have kids who are interested in creating services or being in that world of generally, you know, like if your kid wants to make a web controlled robotic chicken feeder that their you know friends can go like shoot treats to chickens and the chickens will run up to the camera or whatever, go check out Azure for Kids because you can probably do that. It's probably already coded out there and you just drop it in. Who knows?
Nice. And this is a Mythbuster spinoff. So we're Myth Debunkers.
Myth Debunkers!
And I kept saying it sounds like we have a speech impediment. But
no offense to anyone with speech impediments.
So. Right. It just sounds like we're saying Mythter Bunker.
Bunker.
As opposed to Myth
isn't
Debunker. Kind of like a Crispiazzo.
Isn't that what that little kid next to Archie used to call him? Myth yeah. Debunker.
Myth Debunker.
Hey, get out of here, you cheese it, you kid.
So there were three, quote, episodes that we right. were doing. We did two on the first day, one on the second. And then, because we thought this will be silly just to dump into mm-hmm. out of nowhere, we decided to make the intro to the series.
Nice.
So it's Chris and Zachary.
Okay.
And so we shot with a Phantom drone. We were trying to catch that in the lab. We had stirring some dry ice coming. Mm-hmm. So we did all these little itty-bitty shots like they've all been in this long series.
Right.
For the head in. And in 20 minutes when we were done and people were breaking down, Branson had already stitched together like a 20-second intro
that's awesome.
Isn't going to be posted anywhere. But he had the big thing running with the camera at the floor mm-hmm. level and then coming out, and we used the Movi.
Nice.
Yeah, it's going to be tricked out and a whole lot of fun.
That's awesome. That's
and
awesome.
If people saw some of the Facebook posts, like we were throwing water balloons, and people were like, oh, this was the funnest day ever. And that was all just for the trailer stuff. We were throwing water balloons on a metal table, mm-hmm. and then we were shooting them at 480 frames per second.
Mm.
So super duper slow-mo, and it's amazing what those balloons do.
Nice.
It's amazing how much light you have to throw at slow motion.
Oh, so much light.
It was like the sun.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and you're only 480. Like, think about one of the Phantoms at 1,000. Phantom, the camera, not Phantom, the drone.
Right.
At 1,000 frames a second. It's yeah. ridiculous. But yeah, a lot of light. Speaking of cameras,
mm-hmm.
it's NAB this week. I don't know what NAB stands for.
National Association of Broadcasters?
Sure, why not? Let's go with that. That sounds right. In Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
So Blackmagic Design, who is our go-to camera company that we like using,
yep.
Just announced a bunch of new shit.
Do you hear that, Blackmagic? We will also entertain
yes,
corporate sponsorship and
absolutely.
Gifts.
Absolutely, we love you.
Along with GoPro.
One of the things that they announced was an Ursa Mini, which
Ooh.
Is a little baby Ursa. But the more important part of that whole package is the Ursa Mini has an optional a new sensor that's 4.6K instead of 4K. And that's not the big deal. The big deal is 15 stops of dynamic range and variable rolling and global shutter.
What?
So for those of you not into cameras, just turn yours off now. It's going to be boring. But basically a global shutter captures the whole image on the frame at once.
Mm-hmm.
Rolling shutter scan lines the thing. So you
okay.
a rolling shutter, if you move it back and forth, you get jello in the shot, which is where it wobbles back and, you know, like it gets really wobbly.
Mm-hmm.
Global shutter doesn't do that. You sacrifice about 2 stops to have a global shutter, but at rolling shutter you get 15 stops of dynamic range, which is a lot.
So if you're locked off and not moving,
mm-hmm.
that's epic. But if you're doing the moving shot, then you want to lose the two.
It depends on how fast you're moving.
Okay.
Because, I mean, this is really fast still. And additionally, the rolling shutter allows for, on the Ursa major body versus the Ursa minor body, on the Ursa major body, rolling shutter gives you 120 frames at 4K. 120 frames a second at 4K.
Wow.
I think. Maybe it's 60. No, it's. I think it's 120. Yeah, it's 120.
So instead of half speed, it'd be quarter speed.
No, it's more than that. 120 down to 24.
Well, I'm thinking a lot is shot at 29 and 30.
Well, but if you're doing actual film, you take it down to 24.
Okay.
And so you get even more out of it. But yeah, holy crap. and then additionally, the extra dynamic range means better color correction,
mm-hmm.
More detail in shadows or in lights. You can shoot something that's both in shadow and with a very bright light and not blow it out. These are all very important things
when
you're shooting. Because so it's going to be about probably $7,000 to get the Ursa Major. But I've got a bunch of stock coming up in September-ish. So maybe that'll happen.
Maybe.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice?
I think that about sums everything up.
Oh, should we get to some questions? Or should we do our thank yous first?
Let's do the thank yous at the end.
Okay.
So that they're always
okay.
in the same
place. I just have a little intro to talk about the thank yous before we do.
Right.
So, okay.
Yeah, let's do questions. And then,
let's do some questions.
And then we'll take some time for the thank yous
two
and the intro.
Two bards questions. Ask them what you want.
Yeah, we need theme music.
We do. We need to come up with bumpers for these things.
So
it's not an edit. It's just an overlay.
Right.
Where... I don't know what you're saying. I cannot understand this. You're trying to keep it secret? I don't know. Oh.
Our intro music was written by...
Randall Marsh.
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh. I thought you said, where's the tape? Not what's his name. Like, what tape? I don't... What's a tape? What is a tape? What even is a tape?
I was trying to pantomime Randall Marsh and it didn't work.
Where is now?
I don't know.
All right.
I don't know. Anyway, yeah. So, Randall, if you're still listening to us, which you have no right
to. You can just listen out of this ear hole, buddy.
Yeah. Okay, so questions.
Questions.
Let me scroll down so that we go in reverse order.
What are they?
The questions?
Yeah.
They're questions from our loyal listeners.
No, what's the joke? It's a question. What is it? It's a rhetorical statement to gain knowledge. But that's not important right now.
Your amassment of knowledge is...
Oh, come on. Airplane's
so
not even
stupid
knowledge.
When I'm around
you. It's
just
free. Airplane's free, man.
Rob McLennan, who has now taken over everyone in the Department of Asking Questions, asks...
He's our senior question advisor.
Yes. So, if and when Natural 20 gets funded...
Uh-huh.
Which
we'll talk about.
Apart from the obvious, what are you most looking forward to about going back to Guelph?
Is the obvious poutine? The obvious must be poutine, because that
as Tom Gofton writes in, poutine or just being in Canada with moi.
Poutine.
At least he went with the French.
Yeah.
To which Rob replied, I thought I'd leave the, quote, obvious ambiguous so as to not risk hurting your feelings if that answer was poutine. Which, yes, it's poutine.
It's poutine. It's the poutine at the works.
It will always
and
be
it
poutine.
And it smokes.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Every poutinery poutine can be
well,
consumed.
Well, the poutinery, we didn't go to the poutinery.
No.
There's actually a poutinery called the Poutinery off of McCullough?
Maybe.
I think. I don't remember. Anyway. It's off of one of the major strips in Guelph, and we didn't go there. We went to Smokes, which is on the major strip in Guelph, just north of the mall.
If and when we go to Guelph again,
I am
eating nothing but poutine.
Oh, yeah.
Because they have breakfast poutines.
It's going to be
and they have regular
poutine.
Yep. It's going to be a poutine fest.
Yes. Okay, so apart
Putting
from poutine...
in my face.
Apart from poutine, apart from Thomas...
Yes.
Seeing our friends again is awesome.
Yeah.
Just being in Canada is fun. I really like it.
Yeah.
It's just more laid back in general.
And I'm looking forward to coming back into the U.S. and meeting more dipshit, asshole, motherfucking douchebag... Border Patrol agents.
You don't know his relationship. You don't know his relationship with his mother. You don't know.
I don't.
But you
nor do
can
I know
make,
his sexual yeah, but proclivities. But I will make all of those blanket statements about this person because
he turned an old woman. He fucking like made her cry because she was going to her best friend's funeral.
Yeah,
and hadn't printed out her second boarding pass yet, which you
can't do.
She had the receipt, but she didn't have the second boarding pass, which you can't do until 24 hours before your flight.
You can't even get them from a travel agent.
This guy
you
was
dipshit.
5'2" of complete dick. What an asshole.
Yeah. Moving on.
Yeah.
Oh, hold it. No, we were going to use that to
Natural 20.
Into talking about Natural 20.
So regarding Natural 20 being funded, Obviously, we still have like 15 days left. Miracles happen, yada, yada, yada. That being said, Natural 20 is in no way trending toward a successful Kickstarter. It is trending to probably cap out around $10,000 Canadian, if we're looking at just how Kickstarters work.
Mm-hmm.
So, it probably won't get funded this round. That being said, I've talked to Tom, and we're looking at, because the script is fucking solid.
Yep.
So we're looking at relaunching the Kickstarter with a fall target shoot.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and if you funded, you're going to get all this in an email probably within the next week or so. Tom's actually flying in on Thursday. I'm going to meet with him.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We're going to, he's shooting a video here, corporate video here.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, well, we'll all go out and grab some drinks or something.
Yeah.
We're going to work out an email, send it out to the backers, let them know that, you know, this wasn't the most well-conceived Kickstarter in terms of the video was more talking about what we did rather than what we were going to do. And there are some other issues that I didn't have any control over, but now he's talking to me a little bit more as an advisor. So I'll give him some sort of run throughs. One of the things I want to do is before we relaunch, I want to have a script reading where we actually get people in character reading the script. And mm-hmm. that's part of the Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Potentially. Like maybe when you back, you get access to it or something. additionally, we've learned one thing from the many, many Kickstarters we've run, and that is your guest celebrity actor is not a ticket in any way.
Nope.
If Vince Queso had been running the Kickstarter, that'd be one thing. Being part of the Kickstarter, people aren't contributing to, you know, to just help Vince. Because Vince is making movies. He doesn't need the Kickstarter to...
Well, and to be honest, he's not promoting it.
Well, and they never do. Your guest actors almost never promote because they're not contractually obligated to. It's unless not a sure thing.
Unless you make them.
Unless you make them contractually. So we're going to work on that and come up with a way. There are some other potential big things that I can't talk about.
Right.
If those happen, done deal. This Kickstarter will fund itself in minutes.
Yeah.
But if those don't happen, we're still going to work on a relaunch in the summer after everybody else's Kickstarters have wound down. So nobody's like stretching themselves super thin to support this as well.
Well, and it'll be a better time to shoot for mm-hmm. actors because it will be the dead season.
Yeah. It's a slow season. It's entering
so,
it, but it's before the holidays.
Right.
So you get people who are like, oh my God, I wish I could work, but I guess I'm probably not going to get work till next year. Actually getting work. So
yep.
It'll be good.
Laura let us know through our kerfuffle last week of going through the Patreon supporters, forgetting her last name was Adams. She says, it's okay. We can call her Laura the Red Witch if we'd like to.
L-O-L.
Paula Moran comes back in good form this week with a stellar question. Do you have any fun gaming character fail stories to share where Rob McLennan says, I so identify with Leo.
Hmm. Well, remember, Leo's a success. Leo is a bard. Not
failure.
So good. But Leo was a success. He was an incredibly good gamer. If you know your mythos,
mm-hmm.
he was the king of the crop.
Yeah.
Like, there's a reason there's a fucking stained glass window of Leo.
Mm-hmm.
Just putting that out there. That being said, I actually don't have many failures. I don't know if it's just been luck or what. We had to eat someone's horses at one point. Well, we were in a cave. Poor Jim Jam. Aaron's horse's name was Jim Jam.
Oh.
Well, you know, it was still good on toast, so it's good Jim Jam.
Good namesake.
Yeah. But most of my stuff is actually hilarious, epic successes.
Hmm.
So I can talk about a few of those, or we can save those in case someone asks later.
Let's save those in case someone asks
later.
Save
that, so you don't get to know about my successes.
I have an epic fail that turned into
a critical
sort
success?
Of a success.
Nice.
And I can talk about it. So Don Early was running a campaign,
mm-hmm.
with a number of us. It was an Ebron campaign. I remember Christian and Nathan, myself, I think Steve Wilbrecht, and Cindy maybe, and I'm sorry if anyone listening was also in that group that I can't remember. It was a freaking long time ago. But we were on an airship, and the party got separated. And
do you want some ambient music?
Yeah. And somehow, I can't remember why, I was, oddly enough, really low on hit points.
Big surprise. I'm just kidding.
And something happened. I think I was in the library, and we were separated, and something happened to the ship. A bookcase fell over on me. Now, no one else is privy to this except Don and I. And I'm like, and he's like, how many hit points you had? I'm like, And he's like, dude, I am so sorry. I'm like, it's okay. And I'm like, just let it roll where it will. And he's like, okay. So we play this whole thing out, and the airship is getting hit by all sorts. And the whole party, led by Christian, is running up on deck, and they're getting to the lifeboats or whatever you get into on an airship. And they're all going to make it with plenty of room to spare.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, someone decided to do a head count. Because I was just sitting there going, not saying anything because I'm not there.
Right.
And so Christian sends everybody else off. He goes running back because he was a construct, or Nathan was, I can't remember. Anyway, he went to go get me, got me all the way back to the top deck when the airship crashed, imploded, gone.
Mm-hmm.
Christian has enough to survive. I am dead.
Mm-hmm.
But through some magical roll of whatever it was, I was able to be brought back.
So they stabilized you.
Stabilized me. But I mean, I was gone, and I would have totally been gone, period, if Christian had not. And I can't remember now that I'm thinking about it. I think Nathan was a construct, and I want to say Christian told him to go back and get me, which is why he survived as a construct and not a human being.
Nice.
But yeah, it was that's the epic fail that I can remember that was just like, I was, this totally sucks. This nice. We're finally getting somewhere. This is finally turning into something really, really? I'm going to die all alone in the library underneath the bookcase?
So I didn't have an epic fail, but last time we played Demon Hunters, which you can tune into the beginning of every month.
Mm-hmm.
We do a Demon Hunters game. I got carried away as a sausage. Intentionally, though, by a German sausage necromancer. So...
Was this with the new rules? That
yeah, he was a Wurstraiser, okay. I guess. Wurstromancer? Yeah, I don't know. It
in
was
the worst way possible?
In the worst way. Ugh.
Yeah, I'm hoping that next month I will actually be able to attend.
Nice. That would be great.
It would be really nice. It's been like six, 7 months. Thomas Brophy, our Twitter person, has written in with, with Game of Thrones being back on again, what house is your favorite, and what character would you want to play if you were cast?
That's my thinking music right now. I'm going to go with... I mean, of course I like House Stark. But I'm going to go with Targaryen. House Targaryen. Because, first of all, they are the rightful rulers of Westeros. I mean, they belong there. Plus,
is that the one that has the She-Witch with them now?
That's Stannis Baratheon. So it's House Baratheon.
Right.
It's yeah.
Okay.
It's, so Stannis and the Red Witch are. Hey, Red Witch! There you go.
See how I did that?
But no, the Targaryen, it's Daenerys Targaryen, the dragons They're the Dragonborn.
Oh, folks. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
You know, and of course, like her grandfather is up at the wall with everyone, all blind and shit. And he's a I love the actor so much. He doesn't have a lot left in him, so I hope that they get through. But yeah, I'm gonna go with Targaryen. And of course, I'd love to play Daenerys, but I would be stuck playing Sam. Let's be honest. If I'm just being honest here.
Okay, it's been a year. I know that this just came out, so everyone
or has... maybe one of the horses that the Dothraki eat. I guess I could play that.
And if you have HBO or HBO Now in an Apple device, so you can watch it.
So angry.
Everybody knows what those are, but I keep forgetting all the houses except Stark, and I would want to play Sean Bean's character because...
Stark, yeah.
You can't. I can't physically remember. Maybe Hodor.
Hodor.
You or I could play Hodor.
I could easily. Play Hodor for sure.
I don't remember all the names, all the houses, all the everything. All
right,
all right. Who knows? But no one forgets Ned Stark, Sean Bean,
right.
House Stark. So I'm going to do that. Or who was the king before that? The
Baratheon. That's the you're talking about.
Stannis?
No, Stannis is his brother. You're talking about Robert Baratheon.
Yes.
Mark Addy, I want to say, is the actor.
Yes.
He was in. Yeah, he was in Full Monty.
Yes.
He was Fred Flintstone for some reason. He was. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I would totally.
Okay. Yeah. So you got the Baratheons, the Starks, the Lannisters. You've got the
Dali.
There's a lot. I don't. Oh. Well, because then there are sub houses too, right? The Greyjoys.
Yeah, I would not want to be any of them. No
oh
way.
Oh my god. There's the. Oh fuck. There's so many.
Who's the twisted fucker?
Fucking Boros. I forget who runs Boros. Or Davos. Who runs fucking Davos? Oh. The Iron Bank. I forget. Now I've forgotten them all. Oh, who's the twist? Like the fucking weird necromancer dude?
No, the one who's twisting the Greyjoy.
Oh,
got his little pet.
Right. That is a. Oh my god, who is that?
That's the when we were talking about so what kind of twisted character I would like to play.
Yeah,
that kind of
the guy who made Reek.
Yes,
essentially. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. That guy who just.
The fucked
you
up
look
brother.
At him and you're just like, I don't want to see. I have seen enough of him. I don't get him off the.
So it's weird because I know all these, but I can't remember off the top of my head right now for some reason. I've got Daredevil on the brain. So you've got House Murdoch. Got House Foggy.
But I think we answered it.
House Elektra at some point. Yeah, we did.
Ooh, yes. And the last.
No, we got
question.
Two more, don't we?
Well, it's a statement and a question.
Oh, okay.
Which the last statement will lead nicely into where we were going to go with
it. There we go.
Perfect. Man, you guys do excellent non-scripted work. Rob McLennan writes, do you have a favorite gaming genre? Medieval fantasy, modern fantasy, sci-fi, etc.
Medieval fantasy, hands down. Well, okay. If we're talking pen and paper gaming, medieval fantasy, hands down.
Mm-hmm.
Sci-fi's okay. But if we're talking video gaming, it's all over the map.
Yeah.
Sci-fi, fantasy, I like all of it. But for tabletop gaming, hands down, fantastical medieval fantasy. Like the more separate from our actual medieval history. I don't want to like get dysentery from a cut in my leg walking through shit in a town. I want fantasy.
Yes.
You know.
And not alternate history fantasy.
No, that's
although
okay.
That has a place, but
And then I do like modern fantasy okay for like the Palladian games. Like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles obviously is a modern fantasy. Unless you're playing with the Turtles in Time Lantern thing or whatever and you go back in time, fuck that. So, but for the most part, absolutely like medieval fantasy.
Yes. Paper and Pencil, I like medieval fantasy and I also really enjoyed the Serenity campaign we had going.
True.
Because that's kind of like a space western.
Yep.
And I think if I played a Star Wars RPG, I would like that. Probably like a Battlestar Galactica RPG.
Yep. Also, Paranoia is a sci-fi, and I love Paranoia.
Never played that.
Well, computer will have something to say about that.
Okay. And then, yeah, for video games, mm-hmm. I really like side-scrolling shooters like Darius.
Mm-hmm.
But I also like the vertical shooters like 1942.
Or Raiden. Or
any of those. That aren't, you have to hit the pattern of the burst and be over here and do the thing where you're not. I just like being able to fire a lot and blow a lot of shit up.
Yeah. Felios, man, I'm telling you. It's the best Pegasus-based top-down shooter I've ever played.
On what platform?
Genesis.
Oh. You have that?
I think it's on Steam, actually. There's the Genesis collection on Steam. I'll have to double-check if that's part of it.
Okay.
But Felios.
Okay, and the aforementioned last question/statement is brought to you by our good friend, Rob McLennan, saying...
Hey, Rob!
Looking at Patreon, you might now be taking in a real $100 US per month. Nice.
Nice.
Yes, super nice.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you to all the people who have pledged, supported,
yes,
subscribed. I don't know what they call it, helping us achieve our milestones.
Yeah. We've got contributors as far away as Western Australia.
Yes, which is...
That's amazing.
G'day, mate.
Perth has a weird accent. I can't do it.
I can't either. That's the best I got.
Yeah.
It's Crocodile Dundee and nothing. That's a knife.
Oi, mate.
This is a knife.
Don't run the raw prawn on these, mate. He's good blokes. I was fucking almost right. I don't care. I can do it if I fucking practice, but
right.
I got to work up to it. So that does bring us to, first of all, thank you.
Yes. Thank you.
We had to make a decision about how we were going to do the thank yous and the other things.
Yes.
So to be fair, because we don't want a situation where people feel like they're being weaseled out of something and they contributed first and yada, yada, yada. We are going to, so once a Patreon member is charged, that begins the payback, the thank yous, the if you've contributed at a level that gets you a recording, it'll begin at that point. So if we don't say your name, it's not because we don't love you. It's because Patreon hasn't charged you yet and you don't show up in that list. Because we have... Patreon actually kicks out a list of people who have successfully funded. So, without further ado... Also, if we say your name on the air and you don't want us to, hit us up, TwoBards, Twitter at TwoBards, Facebook...
Or just personal messages.
You all pretty much know us. Or message us on Patreon.
Oh, can you do that?
Yeah, you can.
Oh, okay. So, Facebook, Patreon, however you want to do. Big thank yous to Zombie Orpheus Entertainment.
Trampas Johnson.
Gordon D. Duke.
Bo Pritchard.
Paula Moran.
Amanda Cook.
Mike Ott.
James Herbert.
Tim Martin.
Rob McLennan.
Lotta Jerf. Did I get that right? Yes?
Jerf?
Yes?
Yeah, you said Jerf, right?
Okay, yes, yeah, okay. I did.
Cool.
Excellent. I have learned. It has stayed with me.
Nice. Lara Adams. The Red Witch.
I am also giving the...
Devil horns?
No, the heavy metal horns that Lotta always does when she listens to the podcast.
Woo-woo. The woo-woo.
Thomas Brophy.
I lost my place. Brad Roberts.
And Jennifer Reifenberry.
Come on down. You guys
rock. You're
all
contestants on the TwoBards Patreon.
Seriously, you rule. Thank you, everybody. Because of these people, we are, as I mentioned before, using Scott's very own licensed copy of Adobe CC.
Whee!
Which now lets you do a bunch of weird magic because it's crazy.
It is. I can't wait to catch up on all the emails that I've been getting now about all the things.
You've got to go through. Just go look at all the new features. They're nuts, man. They're crazy.
And now they're doing dot updates.
I noticed that.
2014.2. So now all of my shortcuts below.
Don't work. You have to.
Don't work.
Yeah.
Which I don't know why they're.
Whatever.
But hey. Yeah.
I think it's to give people. I think people don't feel like they're getting enough out of their subscription. They don't feel like they're receiving enough because they like, oh, I don't know. But if you give them the dots, they're like, oh, wow, it's updated. Oh, wow, it's updated. Oh, wow, it's updated. It's really stupid. I don't know. But
But make the links go to the dots.
It's really good stuff.
Yes, it is.
It is. I mean, aside from... Yeah.
It's amazing.
Next time you sign in, you may get a survey from them.
I did.
Oh, you did? You should have put that dot thing in there. Did you respond that what would make it better? Oh, if you guys updated your shortcuts?
No. Okay. I just said, yes, I'd recommend it.
Okay.
I don't really pay attention to surveys.
Got it.
If I like it, I give it a 10. If I don't, I give it a 0 and I hit submit.
You're very binary.
I know.
Speaking of binary and stars, Neil deGrasse Tyson.
If you're listening.
And you are circling another star and a bunch of stuff is circling you. Orbiting. I shouldn't say circling.
Encircling.
Yeah, encircling. Well, ellipsing?
Ellipticizing?
Ellipse, eclipse. I don't know.
My two lips.
Come on our show. You bastard.